Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. It's so wonderful to be in his house today. Now, 400 years is no short period of time. 4 centuries, 40 decades. Concerning the span of years now granted a man or woman on this side of eternity, 4 lifetimes. 400 years of bliss would surely be welcomed. And yet, what of a less favorable 400 years? They will test you. They will try you. They will prove you. And they will make or break you. There were saints of old that knew such times. That knew such time. 400 years. 400 years of waiting. Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the 4th generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." The King James Version, "But in the 4th generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." God's covenant with Abram. The beauty of the words we've read. The grandeur of the promise. What a wonder to stand a recipient of the promise of the Lord. What a wonder to be in covenant with the Lord. Genesis 15, 16, the Voice Bible, "Not until the 4th generation will your descendants return. Return here to possess the land, because the sin of the Amorite people has not yet reached its full measure. The purposes of God, the plans of God, the workings of God, the working out of all things, you know, He knows what He is doing. He knows what must be accomplished, and time is in His hands. Can you hear the words of Habakkuk 2, verse 3? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And what of Romans 8, verse 25? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. 400 years. I share these words today. The Amorites had indulged in the most degrading sin. God had observed this, but He did not at once execute vengeance upon them. He had determined that as a nation they should be destroyed and rooted out from under heaven, and that their land should be given to the seed of Abraham. But He tells Abraham that his seed must wait for it. For as yet the Amorites had not filled up the measure of their iniquity. It would take more than 400 years, during which time God's patience would wait while the Amorites continued to heap sin upon sin, iniquity upon iniquity, until they reached a certain point, and then God would bear with them no longer. When the Lord uttered the words of our text, the Amorites had not come up to that fatal point, and therefore, He did not at once mete out their punishment to them, for the measure of iniquity was not yet full. It is a well-known truth of God that God has great long-suffering, but there is a point beyond which even His long-suffering will not go. It has been so in the great judgments of God in the world. Before the days of Noah, men had revolted from God, but Noah was sent to them as a preacher of righteousness. And he did preach, and the Spirit of God was with him. Yet for all that, the antediluvian world turned not from its sin. And when the 120 years had expired, but not till then, God opened the windows of heaven, and down came the deluge, which destroyed the whole race, with the exception of the 8 souls who were preserved in the ark. The old world sinners had 120 years for repentance and 120 years of earnest, faithful warning from holy Noah. And not till all those years had expired did God's patience come to an end and His judgments begin. I guess it should be asked today, can we handle God's patience? Yes, it would take more than 400 years during which time God's patience would wait. As the people of God, we must become those that are at peace with the patience of God, those that are at rest in the patience of God, those that trust in the patience of God, those that accept and honor the patience of God. You see, many become impatient with the patience of God, and often it is linked to the fact that they can't see the big picture, the bigger picture. They become impatient, and yet their impatience will not speed up the process. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes 3, beginning at verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You know, I'm totally okay with this. The KJV reads, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I actually find peace and rest in this, knowing that the Lord is sovereign and in control, knowing that He has a plan and that His plan is unfolding and His plans shall succeed. He spoke to Abram, and the promise was sure. The covenant was concrete, and though there would be a lengthy waiting period, this neither fazed the Lord nor the man. Why would it? Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Philip's New Testament, but you should never lose sight of this fact, dear friends. The time is not the same with the Lord as it is with us. To Him a day may be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years only a day. Back to Genesis 15, verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. How did Abram handle verse 16? You know, I wonder if he ever thought to himself, you're telling me this has to wait till the fourth generation because their iniquity is not yet full and complete? Did he ever say to himself, why doesn't God just wipe them out now? Well, what we see here is that Abram was a man surrendered to the patience of God. Abram was a man secure in the patience of God, a man at rest in and with the patience of God. He was a man content with the timing of the Lord, because there is a sovereign purpose being worked out, and as it was then, so it is now. How did Abraham handle himself as the years passed by? Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful. Judge him faithful. Judge him faithful who has promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. How did Abraham handle himself as time bled on? Verses 17 to 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now Abraham, the man obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. He dwelt. He waited. When tested, he was ready to offer it all up at the command of the Lord. This is how devoted and pure and humble and selfless the man was. Bottom line, Abraham concluded that God was able. This is how you handle verse 16. Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 2. Here we read Stephen's address, the call of Abraham. And soon he would become a martyr. Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved. He moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give him for a possession. Promised to give it to him and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants should dwell in a foreign land and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. The sovereignty of God, the providence of God, understanding that there is a plan and there is a purpose, things are being worked out. Look at what took place. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. The Lord was working it all out. Acts 7, 17 and 18, but when the time of the promise drew near which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. Listen to those words, the message paraphrase. When the 400 years were nearly up, the time God promised Abraham for deliverance, the population of our people in Egypt had become very large. And there was now a king over Egypt who had never heard of Joseph. He exploited our race mercilessly. He went so far as forcing us to abandon our newborn infants, exposing them to the elements to die a cruel death. In just such a time, Moses was born. You know, let God write the story. Let God weave the tapestry. Let God paint the masterpiece. Let the patience of God have its perfect way. Author and finisher. 400 years. 400 years of bondage. What do you do? Man, bondage was the reality for the people of God in those days. They had to fight the good fight of faith. They had to remain faithful to the Lord and His ways. You know that they had to learn how to handle being Christians that filled this space of time in the providence of God. And they had to live it out. Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25, the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. We skip ahead to Exodus chapter 6. And we pick it up at verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. 400 years takes its toll. Oh, that we would keep faith under the providence of God. Verse 9, Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish, that is shortness of spirit and cruel bondage. Well, we know the story. 400 years. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it was easy. But generations of God's people have served their purpose, served His purpose, His story, His tapestry, His masterpiece. For history is unfolding, His story is unfolding. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. You know, I've often thought of a group of believers that are rarely, if ever, thought about. You know, those that lived during the 400 years of silence? 400 years of silence. Malachi 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like well stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's it. It's finished. The last words of the Old Testament. Louis Giglio said, we go from Malachi to Matthew in one page of our scriptures. But that one piece of paper that separates the Old Testament from the New Testament represents 400 years of history. 400 years where there wasn't a prophet. 400 years where God's voice wasn't heard, and that silence was broken with the cry of a baby on Christmas night. Ask, church, what if the heavens were as brass for the rest of our days? Would we remain steadfast, immovable, faithful, true to our God? Yeah, it's unthinkable and unimaginable, and yet there were believers that lived in and through such years. How do you handle 400 years such as these? How do you handle your 120 of them? Oh, the key is in the words of the prophet. Verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. You see, for these believers, it's what they had to do. The Amplified Bible, remember with thoughtful concern the law of Moses, my servant, the statutes and the ordinances which I commanded him on Mount Horeb to give to all Israel. The Amplified Classic, earnestly remember. God's Word Translation, remember the teachings. Holman Christian Standard, remember the instruction. The Message Paraphrase, remember and keep the revelation I gave through my servant Moses, the revelation I commanded at Horeb for all Israel, all the rules and procedures for right living. You know, some lived years of life before the 400 years of silence and gave up the ghost during the silence. Some lived and died in the silence. Some lived years of life in the silence and gave up the ghost beyond the silence. Guess what? They didn't get to choose. They had to be responsible before God concerning their allotted days. They had to serve their purpose, serving His purpose. You ever wish you had been born in another time? Come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Silence. Remember. Remember with thoughtful concern. Earnestly remember. Remember the teachings. Remember the instruction. Remember the revelation. All the rules and procedures for right living. You want to know the truth, church? It's enough to hold us. It's enough to carry us through. It's enough to keep us on track. It's enough to keep us faithful and true and righteous and holy. It's enough to keep us in God. The words of William Gurnall, the Christian must trust in a withdrawing God. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Let him that walks in darkness and sees no light trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This requires a holy boldness of faith indeed. You see, the Christian hath need of resolution. Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The Wycliffe Bible, who of you dreadeth the Lord and heareth the voice of his servant? Whoever went in darkness and light is not to him, hope he in the name of the Lord, and trust he on his God, and trust he in his God. You see, the believers at that time, they needed the words of Malachi, and they needed to keep going back to his words. And there was great promise in the words of the prophet. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Fear my name. You know, that'll carry us through. Trust in his name and stay upon God. We can have the worship team return today. The last words of the Old Testament. Turn the page. One page. 400 years of history. 400 years where there wasn't a prophet. 400 years where God's voice wasn't heard. The New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel according to St. Matthew, Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The son of Abraham, the true son of promise. Oh, the patience of God. Silence broken with the cry of a baby. The Christ child, the son of God, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The promise given to Adam and Eve. Oh, the patience of God. Oswald Chambers said these words, there have been prophets and students who handle the Bible like a child's box of bricks. They explain to us the design and structure and purpose, but as time goes on, things do not work out in their way at all. They have mistaken the scaffolding for the structure, while all the time God is working out his purpose with a great and undeterred patience. Isaiah 9:2, I love it. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I trust we can see, church, that the Lord is working all things out. Surrender all to the providence of God. These are our days, our allotted days, our time. Called to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's by no mistake that we were born into the earth this time in history. And just as other saints, the saints of old, served their purpose, whether it was 400 years of bliss, 400 years of waiting, 400 years of bondage, 400 years of silence, we are responsible concerning our days granted by God. Can we handle God's patience? Perhaps you have a word from the Lord. You have a promise from the Lord, and we're not talking about 400 years, but you know the time has not yet come. Or perhaps you think the time should have already came. Are you okay? Can you handle the patience of God? Can you see the big picture? Can you look from above? Many become impatient with the patience of God because they cannot see the big picture. But God is writing a story. And the story is bigger than you and I. God is weaving a tapestry. God is painting a masterpiece. And you know what? One day when we hit glory, that city that we wait for, when we reach glory and look down, He just explains it all to us and shows us the story and shows us the tapestry, and we finally see the big picture. It'll all make sense. Trust God. Just trust Him. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. You know, I have to close with these words today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Every time I stand in this pulpit, there is somebody here who never comes again. He cannot come again, for he dies before the next Lord's Day. So large is the congregation here that I may almost say, speaking according to the laws of probability, that it is almost certain that some one of us will have gone the way of all flesh before the week is gone. Who will it be? May God take the ripe and spare the green. May He take those who are ready and spare those who are not ready. But better still, may He lead us all to trust in the Savior, and then we shall all be ready whenever the summons comes. May He do so for His name's sake. Amen. I stand in the house of the Lord today. We give you the glory, God.